Welcome to this edition of the Disciples Men podcast with your hosts Greg Alexander and Alex Ruth. Thank you for joining us as we explore the many challenges of being man of faith in these challenging times. Disciples Men is a ministry of Disciples Home Missions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in the U.S. and Canada. Let's listen in today's conversation.
Welcome to another edition of the Disciples Men podcast. I'm your Associate Director of Disciples Men, Alex Ruth, and glad to be with you today. Also have with us Greg Alexander, who is our Director of Disciples Men. Welcome, Greg.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? Always great to be with you on the podcast.
Great to be with you as well. I am doing well. I hope you are.
Doing great. Just about to float away. A lot of rain here today.
Same thing here. We're looking forward to snow soon, so maybe you will be able to avoid that.
Looks like we will, but I wish I was there with the snow.
Well, we've had a great several episodes here. We've covered a lot of ground, and today's episode, I'm really excited to delve into the topic that's on our docket for today, which is talking more about the metaphor that we are using as our predominant metaphor here in our work with the Jesus Way. And that metaphor is about sailing. So this has been your kind of brainchild, your brainstorm. So I'd like to hear about how the sailing metaphor started, and then we can delve into why we think it's so important for our work together as Disciples Men.
Well, I love telling the story, so thanks for asking. As you know, when I worked with men's ministries years ago, I was part of a national organization called the North American Conference of Church Men Staffs, and essentially, it was what each denomination who had a person who did the men's ministry on the denominational level. It was their kind of professional organization. They would gather in retreat once a year and do their work. A lot of it was a tremendous opportunity to do networking and build relationship. And, you know, people from all different theological perspectives were present. It was just really a marvelous experience to be a part of that. Well, I've always had a love of sailing. It's something that I wanted to do. I always wanted to have my own boat, and I never got there, interestingly enough. I'm pretty well landlocked where I live here in Kentucky. But anyway, we used to meet in January in Isla Mirada, Florida, which is in the middle of the Keys. And we met at the High Adventure Boy Scout base there in Isla Mirada, where they did sea adventure as part of the work for scouts. And we were there primarily because it was very cheap. It was a downtime for them. They used the space they had there, very nice space, made it available to us very inexpensively. And so I spent a lot of Januarys down there and was quite blessed by those experiences. Well, one morning I got up, got coffee, was early. We weren't starting for a little while. And at that time, I don't know if they still do, but the dock of the sea base extended out into the Gulf of Mexico. And it was a very long dock, and there were all these big sailboats, 30-foot-plus sailboats that were docked there. And there was some kind of arrangement that the owners had with the Boy Scouts. Well, I grabbed my coffee, and I was walking down the end of the pier just to kind of enjoy the beauty of the morning. And there was a guy in a boat at the end who was working on his sailboat. Well, I mustered the courage to interrupt what he was doing and introduce myself and explained to him my fascination with sailing. And so we started talking. And he was a single guy, older. You could tell that he spent a lot of time living on the sailboat out in the wind and in the sun. And he invited me to tour his boat. So I toured his boat. And we were just kind of sitting there enjoying the conversation. And then he kind of started to wax a bit philosophically. And he said, you know, he said most, no, he said, you know, when you learn to sail, it's a little bit different experience than what most men know. He said, and primarily it's because in all of our life, in our relationships with women and, you know, et cetera, is that we usually, the men are usually the dominant force. And for instance, if you're going to dance, the men usually are the ones who lead and the women follow. And he said, that's just kind of part of what it is to be a male in our culture. And then he said, but in sailing, it's different. And you have to learn that you don't lead in sailing, is that the wind and the wave are who you must surrender yourself to make a sailboat go. And I thought, wow, that's quite profound. And so we talked a little bit about, you know, the need to surrender. And he said that, you know, we obviously have to master our boats. We have to master the equipment and learn how to use, you know, all the elements of the boat. But he said, you know, when you push off from the dock and move out into the open sea, then the wind and the wave are your masters. And you have to learn to surrender and dance to their lead or you don't make it. I thought, isn't that a fascinating metaphor for our relationship with God? In that most of us struggle with God because we really don't want God to take the lead in our lives. We want us to be at best partners, or we want God to bless what we already want to do or are doing. And, you know, and call that faith. And we see the mess that's created. But the truth is, you know, a right relationship with God does involve us surrendering, you know, to God and giving our all to God. And we let God become the lead dance partner in our lives, if we can continue with that metaphor. And it very much is like sailing, is that we still have to master the elements of faith. We, you know, we have to study the Bible. We have to serve. We worship. We thank God. You know, we do all the parts, and we have to learn how to do those things well and prepare ourselves well. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we've got to learn to surrender self to God and let God lead our lives. And you know, over the last few episodes, we've talked about rites of passage. And this really is a different metaphor for understanding the rite of passage, is that a rite of passage in one's relationship with God is surrender. And think about that for a minute. You know, that's an extraordinarily powerful metaphor. We talked about competition. You know, when competition defines your life, there is no surrender. You don't wave the white flag. You know, you die on the battlefield before you wave the flag, you know, in our culture. And so therefore, it's very difficult for us to, you know, to enter into the relationships, the authentic relationships with other men because of the factor of competition. There is no competition with God. You lose every time you try. And so it is learning, what does it mean as a Western cultural man to surrender to God? And that's the metaphor that really is the underlying metaphor of all the Jesus way work that we do. And so, you know, sailing became for me the metaphor for understanding one's relationship with God. We think that the world should be jet skis, that our relationship with the world is a jet ski. You know, I got my hand on the throttle. I control where it goes. I control how fast it goes. And I don't really care that the waves are eroding the beach, because it's all about me and my need for power and speed. It's my need to be dominant. The truth is that's really, you can't establish a relationship with God on a jet ski. It's only on the sailboat that one can establish a right relationship with God and in learning to sail.
Wow, that is a very profound metaphor for our work together. As you were talking, I was thinking about the interplay between the immature masculine and the mature masculine, and this metaphor for sailing. And it's one of those, it's one of those areas that highlights the importance of the rite of passage of moving into a mature masculine mindset, because surrender is not possible in the immature masculine. It's only possible in the mature masculine when you have faith and trust in God that you can surrender yourself to God and know that everything's going to be okay.
Absolutely. And the truth is, it's the surrender that gives us the empowerment, the spiritual empowerment,
right,
to be faithful, you know, to live a life of faith and blessing. Otherwise it's a begrudging every dime or minute I've got to give to another cause. And you know, so, yeah, right. This, the rite of passage, the surrender, all these things, you know, are different ways of looking at the same kind of rite of passage experience that I believe and you believe, you know, is required in our relationship with God. And it's what makes the ministry that we are doing in the Jesus way different than most of the others. Again, not to pass judgment on, you know, some wonderful men's ministries that other groups and denominations do. But many of those begin with sports metaphors. It's about being kinder, right, kinder and gentler heads of household, of being at the top of the hierarchical pyramid, where we invert that and essentially say, no, our power comes when we surrender ourselves to God and dance to the tune that God whistles for our lives. And that's where we find the power and the ability to be, you know, to be God's representatives in the world, and not by trying to be God's, you know, kind of right-hand man, so to speak, empowered by God to do, to do our own thing. And,
right. I was thinking, of a analogy that I've talked about with folks before. It's a different version, I think, of the same concept, but I draw it from the beginning story of creation in Genesis 1 and the first part of Genesis 2, where God creates order from chaos and continually calls everything good that God creates. And at the last day, God creates humanity, and then God rests on the seventh day. But in that whole story, the interesting part of the interesting thing for me is we so often, when we enter our lives, we think of our days as beginning when we wake up in the morning. When I get out of bed, my day begins. But in that Genesis narrative, days are counted evening and morning the first day, evening and morning the second day. And it's a reminder to me that God is already at work while I'm asleep. God is already at work doing things in the world. And for me, I get up in the morning not to begin the work, but to join God in the work.
Oh, that's so true. You and I, we've talked about, you know, our love and respect for the missional church movement the people who have introduced that to congregational life as a way of bringing new life and vitality back to congregational ministry. And, you know, the basic premise of those folks is that God is already at work in the neighborhoods and communities in which we live. Our job is to go join God there in the effort that God's already initiated. And, you know, same thing, you nailed it beautifully, is that, we assume that God doesn't do anything until we start. You know, God waits on us. And that's not true. That's a pretty arrogant way to look at life.
It is, and I was cued into that arrogance in a couple of ways several years ago by a therapist of mine that had a way of hitting those deep core issues. He reminded me very much that that's quite an arrogant statement you have going on there. And fortunately, he was also a former pastor and was able to help me really grow and learn through that process.
Good for him. That's great. You got your money's worth, I would guess, out of that. You know,
very much so. Very much so.
One of the things that you know, again, going back to our sailing metaphor, is really, you know, where the power of life comes from, and you know, if you're riding the jet ski, your power comes from, you know, the gas you put into it, which comes from, you know, a whole lot of human effort to try to extract, you know, the fossil fuel from, you know, from the earth and refine it in such a way that it's now available. And you know, it is a natural resource, you know, that occurs, but it doesn't avail itself to us unless we make it happen. You know, we have to do all the hard work to make that power accessible. Whereas with sailing or solar power, is that those are essentially just unfurling the sail and capturing the wind, or unfurling the, you know, the solar panel and capturing the sun's rays. It's a very passive way, in one sense, of being empowered for life. And that's how God set it up. God didn't put all the burden on us to generate our own purpose or reason for being. God gave that to us. It's our job to unfurl ourselves before God and bask in the purpose that God created for each of us. And then, you know, the hard work, but blessed work, is living into our divine reason for being. And you know, Jesus said, you know, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is light and my burden easy. I got that out of sequence, but you know what I mean. And that's exactly the point, is that, you know, we don't have to go out there and dig up fossil fuels, you know, the metaphorical fossil fuels, to make our faith life go. You know, what we do is we have to surrender before God and let the power God has for us to, you know, for us to capture that and be propelled forward in life by that. And, you know, some of the questions are, what are the sails? You know, so what are we unfurling before God that will move us forward? Well, for me, one obvious one is prayer. You know, prayer isn't about God fix me. You know, prayer is opening ourselves, really making our spiritual sails larger to capture more and more of the movement of God in the world. That's where we get our marching orders. That's how we find the strength and the energy that we need, you know, to bring the justice and righteousness of God to bear in the world in which we live. And that's the mechanism. Worship, you know, worship is a time in which we really do recharge our spiritual batteries. We do that because we are worshiping with people we love and who we journey in life with. It gives us a chance to truly thank God for the ways we live our lives. It's an opportunity for us to give back part of the resource that God has blessed us with to the further the ministries of God. And that is a very important discipline, giving back in that way. And so that's the, you know, all that comes to bear. You know, the Bible study, we are creating, and soon we'll have ready, a Bible study curriculum for men that's part of the Jesus Way journey. You know, that's another way that we unfurl our sails or make ourselves bigger to capture what God has for us. These are all important. You can't leave out any, because they make holes in the sails. And so if we're going to tie all this stuff together, all the pieces, all the fabric have to be in place in order for us to really, truly maximize what God has to give us. And it's just for Western men, it's a big shift to go from I'm in charge to God's in charge. And, you know, and I can do it all myself till I have to wait for God to show me how and give me the strength and energy to do it. I mean, it's, that's a transition that we have to learn to make as men.
And I heard something else in there that I know is important for both of us, especially as we talk about worship and Bible study, and I would say even prayer, that this is not a journey on which we go alone. You know, having been a bit of a swimmer and water kind of guy growing up, I enjoy being out and enjoying nature and swimming in nature, in lakes and streams and even the ocean. But it's not safe to do that by yourself. because you never know when you might catch a cramp or when, you know, something weird happens. It's always good to have somebody else on those journeys with you. Same, I'm sure, is true of sailing. It's much safer, much more likely to have help if you take somebody in that journey with you. And so in our worship, in our Bible study, and even in our prayer lives, there is great, profound growth that is available to us, great power, great interaction with God, if we unfurl those sails with somebody along that journey with us.
You know, absolutely true. That is, you know, some of the healthiest, deeply spiritual men I've ever met will tell you that the secret to being a healthy spiritual man is that they have a regular group of guys they meet with once a week.
Yep.
And that they've got a group they can tell anything to because the trust level is high. There's not an ounce of competition anywhere in the gathering. You know, they're able to process, you know, the twists and turns of life, the ups and downs with these trusted group of men. And I think we've shared in one of the podcasts before, I encountered a gentleman, a friend of mine, actually, who I did not know had been meeting with men for almost 25 years, the same group of men for 25 years once a week. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine the relationship. I haven't had the opportunity to do that, but when I started in regional work 27 years ago, I got a phone call from a young man, he's my age, and I didn't know him. He is the grandson and nephew of disciple pastors, and really neat guy. Called me and he said, "I know you don't know me," he said, "but I want to get to know you, and I want to take you to lunch, and I got another friend of mine I want to join us, and so we're going to find a time to have lunch." Whoa, okay. So we did, and the three of us started having lunch. That was 27 years ago, and two of us have now retired. The third one is getting close to retirement, and it's been probably a year since we've had a chance to meet because of life circumstance. But for 26 years, I met with these guys, not every week. Usually we probably met once a month, once every 6 weeks. And they were life-giving. And, you know, I would do anything for either one of these guys. And I would tell anything to either one of these guys. We've had that kind of trust and relationship. And, you know, we've watched our kids go through their transitions. We've watched our grandkids come into the world. And we don't have to be together beyond those luncheons. That's enough. It feeds the need that we have for that kind of fellowship and trust relationship with other guys. And so you're right. Community is so important. Having some trusted community of guys that we can bear our souls to and walk with is so vitally important to a healthy male spirituality.
And it's part of what we've talked about and what we're building into our Jesus Way curriculum as well. We encourage churches, as you are developing or revitalizing or augmenting your men's ministry, we encourage to have these meetings, those men's opportunities, weekly if possible. That is, we believe, the best way to keep some momentum and flow within the group. You don't have to do the working through that competition step every month. You work through it once or twice, and then it kind of continues through the subsequent meetings. But we're honest about the fact that not every church, not every men's group has the opportunity to do those weekly meetings. And it's important to know that even if you can't do a weekly meeting, if you can only meet once a month or only meet once every 6 weeks, that you still have the opportunity, if as men you're committed to the work that you're doing, committed to the journey that you're on together, that can be a very powerful experience, even if it's not as frequent as we would suggest or recommend.
You are right. And, just getting together and forming those relationships in a consistent manner, not necessarily weekly, but in a consistent manner, is critically important. I would also add that even though we call this the Disciples Men's Podcast, when we set out to develop this curriculum, the Jesus Way Journey, we didn't have only disciples men in mind. This is open to all men who were willing to come together. And so my hope would be that in a situation you just described, a small church like the one I serve, it would be hard to get a group of guys together that, we could sustain over time because our numbers are so small. But we have a community of men. A lot of the guys in my church play golf with other guys from other churches or who aren't in church. There's nothing said we can't form these groups or these just fellowship arrangements, like I've enjoyed all these years, with guys who are not a part of our church, and help them see and experience in us the joy of our journey and how that impacts our life and blesses our life in so many ways. And so it really is designed for men who want to be disciples of Jesus Christ and follow the way that he established for us to walk. And, while we are big D disciples, this is really designed for all of the disciples of Jesus Christ who want to follow along his way.
Yeah, we are big D disciples, but we're also little D disciples at the same time. And I think that's important to hold out and remember that as well.
It really is. It really is. And, there's not, we're both ecumenists by, to our core. We love our tradition.
Yes.
It feeds us beautifully. But to be a disciple is to be an ecumenist. And, that's kind of been our DNA since the beginning. And so, as whoever listens, just please know whether you are part of a disciple church or not, this is a journey that we invite all men to take. And again, not to grow a church, but to expand the kingdom of God with men who are surrendering their life to God and to God's service. And, that's, you can't lose. Nobody loses in that scenario.
Yeah, that's the beauty of it is we don't have to worry about competition because there are no losers. Everyone wins in that scenario. Before we wrap up today, let's talk briefly about the big event coming up this summer. Actually, we've got two big events coming up this summer, but the one I'm thinking of first is Sessions 2020, which is coming up July 10th through the 12th on the TCU campus. Registration is open, and I'd encourage you to get your registrations in. We are getting closer to the early bird deadline, so save yourself some money. Make those travel arrangements early so that you can get the best deals on those and get the best deal on the conference as well. Tell us briefly, Greg, what can guys anticipate to experience when they come to Sessions this summer?
Well, there's a lot of wonderful things that happen in this. Number one, you're gathering with men from all over the United States and Canada. So again, you get to make new friendships of people who, don't live in your neighborhood. And today with all the social media options we have you can stoke some really great friendships. Distance becomes no object or obstacle anymore. And so again, just fellowship is one. There's going to be marvelous preaching and teaching. Can't wait. Rick Lowry, who's going to be our keynote preacher. Rick's been a friend of mine for many, many years, and he's a phenomenal preacher and just deeply faithful guy. And currently the president of our Disciples Historical Society. But Rick is worth the price of admission alone, just hearing him. He will just inspire us extraordinarily well. And then we've got, workshops on how to do being a man of faith better in your local congregation, And so, again, we'll be doing a workshop on the Jesus Way there. And then TCU is a blast. I mean, this place is cool.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, first time I ever had macaroni pizza was at TCU. And some macaroni cheese pizza. So, I mean, just come for the macaroni and cheese pizza. Put a smile on everyone's face. So it's, but, you know, it's Fort Worth is a beautiful place, and TCU is a beautiful campus at TCU. And the folks are extraordinarily hospitable to us. They are so good. They make it such a great experience. Worship will be exceptional. So, you know, we're men of God, and we need each other. And this is an opportunity for us to come and expand, and using our earlier metaphor, you know, to make bigger sails to in which to capture the movement of the Spirit of God in our life. Because, you know, each new relationship we make adds another fabric to our sails, a piece of fabric to our sails. Yeah. And it's a marvelous way to do that. You've had some of this experience. So what do you think?
I'm looking forward to those same kinds of things. And for me, the relationship building is huge. And we have another opportunity that we haven't talked about much. It's a big year in the world of Big D Disciples. We're having a Disciples Experience, which is the joint gathering of our national convocation, the NAPAD, or North American on that one, Greg. Disciples. Thank you. And Obra España. We'll all be gathering about a week after we are as Disciples Men. And I know that both you and I are planning on being in attendance just to build those relationships and to be available to listen and see how we might enhance ministry in all expressions of the Disciples of Christ and beyond.
And I would encourage, whether, you know, it's for our African-American disciples, our, you know, our Asian and Asian-Pacific disciples, and our Hispanic, our Latinx disciples, you know, that's who that's for. It's their event, but we're all invited. And I can tell you, if you've never worshiped in another language, you know, hearing Korean or Spanish or Zhou or some other language lifted up in worship, you've missed out, because what you discover is the language, the words are not important. The spirit of how they're being spoken is the key, and it is phenomenal. The music will be sensational. I can't wait. It's going to be one of the premier events for disciples, I think, to come along in a very long time. And I would encourage all guys, especially the guys down in the South, you know, Southwest part of the country, you know, it would not be difficult travel for you, and come and experience the richness of who disciples are when you see us in this kind of breadth and depth, which a lot of us don't get to see on a regular basis. So it's going to be awesome.
Right. Yeah. So there are tons of great opportunities to see what's going on in the world of disciples, and specifically in Disciples Men this summer. And we hope that you can take advantage of all of them. But I understand that that might be difficult for some folks. So take advantage of what you can. And if you want any other information, reach out to us through the Disciples Home Missions website or through our website at Jesus Way Men. And we would be glad to fill you in on all the great things that are happening in the world of Disciples Men. Greg, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Alex. And again, I want to put just one quick plug in for the Jesus Way. We are very close to having our first resource available, the foundational resource for this ministry. And we're just a couple weeks away. My hope is by the time we do our next podcast, we'll be telling you where to go get it. And so again, something we're both looking very much forward to. And Alex, thanks for hosting us today. As always, you're awesome, brother.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed the time with you, Greg, and we'll speak again soon.
You bet. God bless.
Our special thanks to our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Dean Phelps, for providing the special music of this podcast. You can discover more of Dean's music at deanphelpsmusic.com. And you can learn more about the ministry of Disciples Men on Facebook and through discipleshomemissions.org.